Thank you, ladies. That was better than what any of us here deserved. Praise the Lord. Well, Memorial Day is a national holiday set aside for us to honor those who died while serving in the United States Armed Forces. It's a way for us to say clearly to those families of the fallen that we will remember their loss and sacrifice, and we honor the service of their loved ones who gave all. That's why we have Memorial Day. And as is the American way, we tend to co-opt occasions like this for our own purposes. And so it's perfectly normal and natural that families across the country today will take this weekend to remember and to honor their deceased loved ones, those who have gone on before us. And it's true that every family must come to terms with the reality of death. Not one of us are immune to that. We must find a way to remember those who have passed on. We need to grieve them and to remember them in ways that are right and good and appropriate, while also learning how to live the lives we have that God has given us. We have to go forward. I've noticed in our culture that it often takes a funeral to unite families together. Have you noticed that? Not even a wedding will get them together like a funeral will. We've said a new family is not good enough, but a death will help us to breach time and distance, come together at those times. It's a challenge in today's world for families to stay connected beyond the internet or phone calls. Now, the Old Testament tells us that God thought up families. God designed families for His purposes and for His pleasure. In families, people were to be loved, they were to be cared for, they were to be provided for, taught the word of the Lord and the ways of God from one generation to the next. God designed all of that, and families are good. Now you and I, because of our sin, have a way of distorting God's goodness when it comes to our families. So I know that your family is not perfect. Your grandchildren are, I get that. I get that, you know. But family in general, we all bear the effects and the consequences of sin. In the New Testament, the Apostle Paul emphasizes that the church was to function like a family, especially for those people in his lifetime who had lost all their family connections because of their public profession of faith in Christ. And so the church was to gather these people together as family, because in God's kingdom there are no orphans. And so the church took the place of all of those connections that they had lost. And when you think back on it, the way the Bible, the story, the narrative of the Bible unfolds from the Old Testament to the New Testament, we see that families in the Bible, just like our families today, experience the close, loving bonds of kinship, and they also experience the pain and the death of separation, just like we do today. When my own father died, I found myself answering again all the questions I had answered for so many people over the years regarding death. But because it was personal for me, I was having to answer those questions for myself. So I wanted to know, where was my father now that he had died? Where did he go? Am I ever going to see him again? And these are common questions for people who are facing the separation of death from their loved ones. Where do our loved ones go when they die? They are gone from us, but are they gone completely? And if not, will we ever see them again? As Christians, we believe that the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ changes the way we view life, death, eternity and separation. So both the Old Testament and the New Testament have descriptions of death and what happens after death that are very comforting to me. And I want to share both what the Old Testament says and what the New Testament says with you this morning, in my hopes that it will be a comfort to you on this Memorial Day as we remember those who have gone on, because there are many who have gone on before us. In a moment, we'll look in the New Testament in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Before we read that, I want to tell you some things that it says in the Old Testament. So here's the first thing I want you to know and remember this morning. The Old Testament describes those who die in the Lord as being gathered to their people. And especially when it comes to the patriarchs in the book of Genesis, as their narrative is conveyed to us, when it comes to their passing, the language is fascinating and how the Bible describes their transition from life to death, really to life. For instance, in Genesis chapter 25, verse 8, it says, "Then Abraham breathed his last and died at a good old age, an old man full of years, and he was gathered to his people." Don't you like that? He died at a good old age, full of years, and when he passed, he didn't go nowhere. Where did he go? To be with his people. In Genesis chapter 35, verses 28 through 29, it says, "Abraham's son, Isaac, lived 180 years. When he breathed his last and died, he was gathered to his people, old and full of years." In Genesis 49, verse 33, Isaac's son, Jacob, when Jacob had finished giving instructions to his son, he drew his feet up into the bed, breathed his last, and was gathered to his people. That's very comforting to me, from one generation to the next, from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, that when these men passed, it's almost like they were taken home where their family was. It says in the book of Numbers, chapter 27, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go up this mountain in the Abiram range and see the land I have given the Israelites. After you have seen it, you too will be gathered to your people as your brother Aaron was.'" You'll pass from life to death, but really to life again, as he has been gathered with his people. And God even tells him, "Your brother Aaron's going to be there. Get ready." You know how brothers are. You know, and Moses and Aaron had a rocky relationship. They were going to be there together. That's comforting to me. You know, after the hurricane, many elderly people picked up stakes and moved to be with their children and grandchildren. Why did they leave? There's a variety of reasons why they left. What's important is, where did they go? They went to where they had kin and family. A few years ago, my own parents downsized and moved to Rockport. Why? It wasn't to be with me. It was to be with their grandchildren. They had people down here, and that explained to their friends where they came from the difficult transition they were making. Why would you sell your house and get rid of everything and downsize and move from North Texas to South Texas? Well, to be with our grandchildren. Oh, that makes sense. You go where your kin is. In Jesus Christ, the Bible says, "I have people, family and friends, who are waiting for me in heaven. I have kin there. And so when I leave here, I'm going to be where my family is." That's what the Old Testament tells us. Those people are not gone. we are separated, it's true, and I remain here with all of you people. Yeah, but they've gone on to be with their people, and one day I too will join them, and so will you. This year, I've already done 6 funerals. Most of those were people I knew well and loved dearly. I'm going to see them again. One day. We're going to have a lot to talk about. Some of them owe me lunch. But because of Jesus Christ, I believe they are all there together, and they are experiencing glad reunions and great joy. I am separated from them, that's true, but they are not lost. They are alive together in Christ. And when we gather together as families on a holiday weekend like this, what we do is just a small taste of what it's going to be like in heaven. When we are all gathered together, where the circle is no longer broken. And we will be there in the Lord's presence forever. That is a very comforting thought for me. Now let's think about what the New Testament tells us. The New Testament says that when Jesus Christ returns, we will be gathered together in Christ with all of our loved ones who have already died in the Lord. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13, it says this: Brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in Him. According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord Himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God. In other words, it's going to be loud. You're not going to be able to miss it. And the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. It's an amazing thing that Paul is saying here, and he's telling them clearly, I'm communicating to you what we believe the Lord told us. And so it's important that we keep this in mind. And the Thessalonians themselves were having a very difficult time because of the persecution they were undergoing related to their public professions of faith in Christ. They were wondering about the martyrs, those in their family, those in the church who had lost their life because of their faith in Christ. And they were wondering what happened to them. These that have gone on before us. And what Paul is saying is that when Jesus returns at the end of all things, He will call out and all of those who have died before us will be raised and made new along with all of us who may still be alive at that time. We will all be transformed and changed at that moment. And He says then we will all be caught up together with those who have died before us and together we will be taken to heaven to be with the Lord forever. And this was to be an encouragement in the presence of death, of death's painful separation. It hurts now, yes, but on that day, we are all going to be caught up together and taken to be with the Lord forever. We are to look forward to that day. That wonderful day when all of those lost, we will experience unification again. We'll be united. with the Lord, and we will be with them in the presence of the Lord forever. Now, the Bible is very clear. No one can know when that day is going to come. I've been praying for the Lord to return for a long time now. I know you have too. What's he waiting on? I don't know. But he's waiting. Another thing we don't know is when our time is up. The Lord knows the number of our days. There's an ending to them. We don't know when they are. And the Bible understands that whether we're waiting for our natural death or for the return of Christ, we are to be prepared. Because we don't know when that day has come, but the day is coming. And our job is to be prepared. According to a news report from Fox News in 2006, a man named Ed Lorenz bowled a perfect game, then he had a heart attack and died. The 69-year-old retiree had started bowling in 1957, and in recent history, he had bowled at least two other perfect games, both in 2004. His per-game average for his last full season was 223. Which is not bad. And in 2005, he was inducted into the Kalamazoo Metro Bowling Association Hall of Fame. He died after his third perfect game in January of 2006. His bowling partner said if he could have written a way to go out, this would have been it. You never know when your time is going to come. My friends, my testimony is that death is like a thief in the night that breaks into our lives and steals away those we love. We don't know when it's going to happen. We must be prepared for death before it comes. God made provision through His Son, Jesus Christ, so that the pain we experience at the passing of our loved ones is limited to this life and to this world. What the Bible says is that those who trust in Christ for their salvation receive a life that will never end. And it falls to me this morning to ask, have you trusted in Christ as your Savior and Lord? I invite you to do that today while you have the chance. Sudden loss often simplifies life. For example, a man who found himself in a hospital bed once wrote, "I came to realize I no longer really cared for what the world chases after, such as how much money you have in the bank and how many cars are parked in the garage. As it says in Ecclesiastes, chasing after these things is like chasing the wind anyway. Suddenly the rat race became vanity to me, utter vanity. I felt naked before God. If I died, I would take none of that stuff with me. All that really mattered ultimately was my relationship with the Lord, my relationship with family and friends. If it weren't for the loss of my health, I could have wasted the rest of my life chasing achievements and acquiring more transitory things." How do you want to live your life in the time you have left? For those who are left behind and grieving, I encourage you to remember Paul's words. Those who have gone on before us will be with us again when the Lord returns. And then we will together to go to be with the Lord forever. Until then, while we have life, we are to live that life. And if it's true, as we celebrate this weekend, that brave men and women have given their lives so that you and I could live free, then let us live free while we can. And live in a way that will make a difference to our friends and our family for eternity. It's not just for this life that we live. The Bible says we are going to have family reunions that will last forever. Which means I need to get some things straight with some folks because I'm going to be living next door to them forever. And the good news is as long as I'm alive, I have a chance to make things right. While I can. So I ask, are there relationships you need to mend today while you have opportunity? Today is the day. Praise God for our new life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we all pray, I know, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But while we wait, let's make the most of the opportunities we have been given. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we pause now to give thanks for life in Jesus Christ our Lord. And we know, Lord, that you are the one who thought up families. In your mind, before time began, you designed husbands and wives, mothers and fathers and children and grandparents. From one generation to the next, you dreamed it all up for your purposes, for your glory, because it was pleasing to you and right and good. And we know that sin changes things, but there is forgiveness and redemption in Jesus Christ our Lord. And I pray, Father, that you would surround those who are grieving and experiencing loss today with your presence, so that they may find their comfort in you. And help us to understand clearly what the Bible says, both the Old Testament and the New Testament, about death. And where our loved ones have gone, and how in Christ we will see them again. And Lord, as long as we have family and friends and relationships in this life, help us to do what we can to make them right. As far as it comes down to us, let us do what we can to experience redemption, reconciliation, and to extend grace and the good news of Jesus Christ to our family and friends. And in this life, Lord, prepare us for what we are going to experience together forever in your presence. Give us a taste of what that's going to be like. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless all of these folks gathered here. And speak to them now so that they would know how to respond to you. And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.